Welcome. The following presentation from Answers in CME is part of an educational activity titled Clearing the Way for Novel Systemic Agents for NMSC, Evaluating the Potential of Immunotherapies. To access the full program and supporting materials, visit www.answersincme.com/CHA860. This activity is supported by an independent educational grant from Regeneron Pharmaceuticals Incorporated.
Hi, I'm Omid Hamid. I'm the Chief of Translational Research and Immuno-Oncology and Co-Director of the Cutaneous Malignancies Program at the Angeles Clinic and Research Institute, a Cedars-Sinai affiliate in Los Angeles, California. Today, we're going to briefly discuss how systemic treatment has evolved for the management of non-melanoma skin cancer. Now, non-melanoma skin cancers cover the significant proportion of skin cancers that we see. There are more than 5.4 million diagnosed, and the majority are now treated. Most are basal cell carcinomas, 80%, followed by cutaneous squamous cell carcinomas, 20%, and a small fraction are Merkel cell carcinomas. Clearly, the majority of these are well treated with surgical intervention and radiation as needed. Important to know that at this point, treatments have exploded for these types of tumors. We have made headway into therapy for locally advanced and metastatic basal cell carcinoma, understanding that hedgehog signaling pathway could be targeted with vismodegib and sonidegib to show response and tumor control. Despite this, there is clearly a need for more durable and more beneficial therapy in this tumor. Although most cutaneous squamous cell carcinomas are curable, 5% metastasize. They're treated typically with platinum-based therapies with low response rates and short duration of responses. Currently, we're exploring immunotherapies to change the immunosuppression and utilize these therapies for squamous cell carcinomas. What we now know is the mutational load of skin cancers are high. With that, we've understood the role of immunotherapy in the future. In closing, we now have multiple systemic treatment options for patients with non-melanoma skin cancer. Understanding their mutational loads and the ability for immunotherapy to be involved in the care of these patients is important. In the next episode, we will focus on the utility of new immunotherapeutic options for our patients with non-melanoma skin cancer. In this episode, we will evaluate the potential benefits of immunotherapies in non-melanoma skin cancer for patients with advanced disease. It stands to reason that since cutaneous squamous cell carcinoma and basal cell carcinoma have high tumor mutation loads, they will respond to these therapies. Additionally, virally induced carcinomas respond to immunotherapy. Therefore, there is strong rationale for immunotherapies in Merkel cell tumors. At this time, immunotherapies targeting the PD-1 and PD-L1 pathways have shown efficacy in recurrent, locally advanced, and metastatic non-melanoma skin cancers. Cemiplimab and pembrolizumab have shown significant response rates in recurrent and metastatic disease with duration of responses that have not prior been seen in the locally advanced and metastatic cutaneous squamous cell carcinoma. Interestingly, tumors that have recurred and are not amenable to surgery or radiation, those that could have surgery or radiation but would have high risk of recurrence can also be treated in this fashion. We have seen similar in basal cell carcinomas, including those who have failed first-line therapy with hedgehog inhibitors and those who had initial response but ultimately had progression of disease. Checkpoint inhibitors in advanced basal cell carcinoma have shown significant response rates and the ability to have a backbone for future combinatorial treatment. Preliminary data about the utilization of combination of targeted therapy with vismodegib and immunotherapy with pembrolizumab is the first step in understanding combinatorial therapies for these types of tumors. High mutational burden and viral associations have been shown to contribute to immunogenicity. Data with PD-1 blockade looks promising with frequent and durable responses. Immunotherapy should be considered for frontline systemic therapies of cutaneous squamous cell carcinoma when feasible and appropriate. In the next section, let's review the safety profiles of immunotherapies in patients with non-melanoma skin cancer. As immunotherapy has made major headway in the therapy for non-melanoma skin cancers, it is important for us to understand the safety with use of immunotherapies for the management of these cancers. Immunotherapeutic toxicity can affect every major organ system. With increased use, we have increased familiarity with identifying these toxicities and understanding how to utilize immune suppression with steroids and other therapies to mitigate toxicity. Most side effects resolve over time, and early management of immune-mediated toxicity leads to low morbidity. These immune-related adverse events can occur at any time, even weeks to months after discontinuation of immunotherapy. Management of these adverse events with anti-PD-1, anti-PD-L1 therapies depends on grade, with initial low-grade toxicities requiring initiation of symptomatic therapy and higher toxicities mandating holding immune therapies and initiating high-dose corticosteroids with a one-month taper, immunosuppression through steroids or other therapeutics do not impact immunotherapy efficacy. With refractory cases, we may require other forms of immune suppression. For patients who have high-grade toxicities, permanent discontinuation of immune checkpoint inhibitors is indicated. Short and long-term immune-related adverse events have been seen with immunotherapies. The key is to educate patients, physicians, nurses, and family about the potential for these adverse events so they can be identified early, addressed early, to reduce the impact on quality of life. So the approval of PD-1 inhibitors in non-melanoma skin cancers is important. Many oncologists are familiar with these drugs and have an ease of use from prior approvals for multiple solid tumors. For the patients themselves, these are therapies that are very well tolerated and have shown durable response rates and efficacy in non-melanoma skin cancers. In the next section, let's discuss some long-term strategies and the people who assist us to maximize benefit for this patient class. This episode will discuss long-term strategies to maximize patient quality of life, including continued monitoring and involvement of a multidisciplinary team. At our clinic, our patients are supported with a team of dermatologists, pathologists, surgical oncologists, medical oncologists, radiation oncologists, and social support that manages each patient individually. Multidisciplinary team meetings occur depending on need. Throughout these multidisciplinary team meetings, everyone involved considers the best options for our patients. We've been able to make progress in the treatment of non-melanoma skin cancer through the clinical trial format. Therefore, for any patient with non-melanoma skin cancer looking for an option, my first thought is to utilize the clinical trial pathway. Long-term care is important given the risk of local and distant recurrence for these patients. In cutaneous squamous cell carcinoma, 30 to 50% will develop cutaneous squamous cell carcinoma in 5 years. Increased risk of basal cell carcinoma and melanoma. Recurrences develop within 2 years in a majority of these patients. In an initial visit with a patient with non-melanoma skin cancer, we introduce not only the physician, but also our nurse practitioner team, our social support, our palliative support, and then discuss therapeutic options and our ability to not only give them this therapy, but ensure that it does not affect their everyday life. I immediately consider a long-term plan. It's important to discuss first-line therapy, second-line therapy, and our therapeutic decision points as they come. In closing, it is important for us to emphasize the benefits of immunotherapies for these patients, the clinical benefit, the durable benefit, and the ease of administration, while also educating on the toxicities of these therapies. This point makes it easier to bring these approved therapies into the clinic for all patients with non-melanoma skin cancer. In the next section, let's listen to a patient speak about their journey since being diagnosed with and treated for non-melanoma skin cancer.
My name is Dale Biggs, and I live in San Antonio, Texas, and I am a cancer survivor from cutaneous squamous cell carcinoma. I've had around 15 Mohs surgeries over 25 years for actinic keratosis. On the last Mohs surgery, a spot was removed from my scalp, but I progressed and had to have my scalp removed. Following that surgery, large tumors appeared all around where the skin had been taken. Next, I was referred to an oncologist who started me on chemotherapy, but the tumors came back with a vengeance. At that point, he said, "I can't give you a medicine and it's not going to do you any good." And at that moment, I realized I'm talking to an expert in cancer who has an infinite knowledge of this disease, and he's telling me there's nothing he can do for me. It was a real feeling of desperation at that point. It was then that I entered into a clinical trial for immunotherapy, and after 4 weeks, we noticed physical changes in the tumors, and there were no new tumors coming up. We went through about 8 weeks of this treatment. There are a couple of things that I would like to pass on to the clinicians that I really appreciated from my doctors. Be honest about the patient's future. Be an optimist, but don't hide anything under the rug. Be empathetic. A simple statement acknowledging what I have to go through makes a world of difference. And teach as much as you can. I really liked that my doctor at the cancer center was willing to tell me what was going on and what to expect. During the first visit, he told me about the protocol and the side effects of the drug. My doctor taught me that immunotherapy is not nearly as hard on your arteries and veins as chemo, and people tend to have fewer side effects. I was also pleased to find out the drug I was on seems to have a very lasting effect on your immune system. As a patient, it's important to gain the basic understanding of what's going on in your body. Cancer patients and their spouses need to know what resources they have available to them. This information could come from a nurse or a guidance counselor or cancer treatment center. The nurses in my treatment center were very pleasant people, and that helped me a lot when I was receiving treatment. I still see a dermatologist about every 3 months, and I know that this cancer will be something that's always in the back of my mind. It'll never go away completely. Throughout this whole ordeal, I thought a lot about what it would be like if there was no immunotherapy. I went from desperation to hope with this treatment. For the future, my hope is that eventually there'll be a vaccine for cancer so more people with cancer can become survivors too.
Thank you for listening. Please visit www.answersincme.com/CHA860 to view all program materials, complete the post-test, and get a certificate.